Did I get your attention?
What about makeup?
I didn't want you to jerk that badly, but...
Do you tape the windows?
I'll try to not do that so loud next week. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Gary Beal, Church of the Jubilee. Pastor.
Should we all bow our head? Father, I thank you, Lord, today for each and every council member that is here today and the staff around this table. I pray, God, personally for their life, that, God, you would bless their home, their life, their family. And I also pray, God, today as we sit and do business, God, for the city of Owosso, that, God, we ask of your wisdom, that, God, you would speak to our hearts, and, God, you would direct us, God, that a plan just doesn't affect one or two people, but the plans they put before us, God, affects a community. And I pray a blessing in this community, God. Today, Lord, that you would bring unity among each and every business person, every citizen, Lord. God, today, that you would bless the city of Owosso, God, today. Though that we go through situations that we're uncomfortable, though that we go through situations we don't understand or even have a vision of an outcome of knowing how to do it, God, I ask for wisdom that you would direct this staff, God, today. And we give you all praise and all the glory for what you're going to do in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Pastor Bill Mole. Bill.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Councilmember Fear.
Here.
Luddington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer.
Here.
Owens.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda, which we have an update, an addendum, a couple of addendums we need to make with the motion to approve it. An update to item number 10 to the consent agenda, tentative bid award, WTP electrical improvements, and two additions to communications for Scott J. Gould, city attorney, memorandum regarding water bill assistance programs, and number 6, Nathan R. Henney, city manager, memorandum regarding monthly water billing and shutoff elimination guidance. And with that, I would need a motion for the approval of agenda with that update and the additions.
Motion to approve.
Support.
I have motion support. This would be a roll call vote. No. I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the same. The approval agenda, the agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of May the 19th, 2025.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of May the 19th, 2025 are approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the special meeting of May 21st, 2025.
Make a motion.
Support.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the special meeting of May 21st, 2025 are approved. Now, this brings us to the best part of the meeting. This brings us to a special presentation. This is Kerwood Festival Royalty Introduction with the Princess, the Kerwood Festival Teen, and the Kerwood and Miss Kerwood Festival. Please come up to the podium. And Councilwoman Osmer, would you like to join me?
Sure.
I'm not sure if you would like to join as well. Take pictures. Okay, you only need 3 pins?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome all 3. Now, you know, am I going to get it right? What do you think?
I'm going to start out with you. Okay? First of all, we're very happy that all three of you are here tonight, and congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And we hope that you have the best of all weeks during this week. Special week for you three, right? All right. We have Miss Kerwood Festival Princess, Ella Ozentoski. I get it right? Oh, man. Congratulations. And I will have Councilwoman Osmer pin a city pin on your sash. And then we have Miss Kerwood Festival Teen, Sloan Hotchkiss. And congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, I like the nails.
And finally, we have Miss Kerwood Festival, Mackenzie Strauss. Mackenzie? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you for coming. You want to take a picture?
Yeah, yes.
How would you like to do this? Would you like to have get in front of all the council here?
Yeah, sure.
Would you like that?
We can, yeah.
Yeah, you'd like that? You'd like to have everybody in the picture? Okay, let's see if we all can get in the picture now.
Standing up?
I would probably all see him standing.
Yeah. I am standing.
Got to crowd on in there a little bit.
You're going to have to come on, Mr. Mayor.
Yes. All right, I'll get up a bit.
Knock him out at the knees. Shove it in real fast.
Oh, don't.
Can you get us all in?
Hold on, my phone. All right. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for showing.
I bet they
appreciate it.
Screaming.
Okay. This brings us to public hearings, in which we have none. This brings us now to the first citizen comments, in which each person wishing to address the City Council shall be afforded one opportunity of up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion, and up to 3 minutes during the last occasion for citizen comments and questions. When recognized, please come to the podium, give your name and address, and direct your comments to the mayor. Is there anyone at this point in time that would like to address the City Council? Yes, ma'am.
Jay Harrington, Gould House. I was wondering, I noticed that the Holman Skate Park had some need for paint, and I wanted to know who I would contact to maybe a mural. I could commission a mural or something in that space. I could probably send this as an email. Sorry, I just came up and I thought I would say something. Thank you.
Yes. Further comments for the City Council? Seeing none, I would think, would it be our assistant city manager, Amy Fuller? Right over here would be the person to contact. Thank you. Then I would bring it back to the council for any council comments. I was commissioned to do a little promotion of what Councilwoman Osmer has been promoting.
Yeah.
First of all, Open Streets Owosso, June 21st, 2025. There'll be a schedule of a lot of different events. I believe the Y is sponsoring this. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're talking about here. So it's going to be from 10 to 1 o'clock, and there are going to be food trucks and pop-up exercise classes in the kids' area and all different types of things going on. And we also have a drop box here as you walk into the basement entrance to donate kids' helmets. So we're going to try to get some helmets and have some helmets available for kids that need them that ride bikes. So anything else that I miss, Councilwoman?
We're just confirming with which council members will be there that night. But
right now, unless the schedule changes, I plan on being there, just to let you know. So
perfect. I'm planning on as well.
All right. You're right. Thank you. Okay. This brings us to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve consent agenda.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Fear.
Here.
Yes.
Ludington.
Yes.
Owens.
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Councilmember Osmer.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
Mayor Teich.
Yes, the consent agenda is approved. This brings us to the first item of business, notice of pecuniary interest. Enter a notice of pecuniary interest on this record for Councilmember Carl Lunnington as it relates to proposed contracts for Lunnington Electric for the month of May 2025, and I'd be looking for a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
Motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Osmer.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Ludington.
Yes.
Owens.
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Mayor Teich.
Yes. The notice of pecuniary interest is approved. This brings us to business item number two, Historical Commission bylaws. And I will begin with the Assistant City Manager, Amy Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
So on behalf of the Owosso Historical Commission, I'm here to talk about their bylaws. The first thing that brought about their need to make some changes was the sale of the Gould House. So their first thing is removing that from the bylaws. After that, January, February, and March of this year, they went through a strategic planning session, well, several strategic planning sessions with the nonprofit network, and they made some new goals and worked on their mission and really fine-tuned that. So they want their bylaws to reflect the work that they did. So Article 1, purpose, there's a lot of changes in that to reflect what they went through with their strategic planning and their new priorities and goals. The changes for Article 2, members, that is to make the bylaws match the city ordinance. So the ordinance is, of course, going to trump the bylaws. Instead of having them different, they thought it would make more sense just to copy what's in the city ordinance. So that's what that change is. The changes to the committees also reflect their newly defined goals. So the Facilities Committee, they've just changed the name to the Building and Grounds Committee. The Historic Properties Activities Committee, they're asking to be deleted. That is a committee that has not been active in many years, and when rules regarding the properties have come up, the commission has always just voted or worked through those as a full board. So it's not something they feel they need a committee for. The Historic Collection Committee, they would like to become the Historic Appreciation Committee. And that's because they're also adding storytelling and events to that committee's responsibilities. The Historic Preservation Committee, they're asking to delete. That also has not been an active committee in recent years. And while it isn't one of the goals they identified, they also just don't have the volunteers or commission members that would be able to support that. They did want to add an Educating Our Youth Committee. One of the commission's goals is to share Owosso's history with school-age children. And then the final change that they're asking is Article 3, Control of Assets, and that's just a change to match the committee name change. So from Historic Collection Committee, they would have it be Historic Appreciation Committee. And that is all I have, but I'm happy to answer any questions from you guys.
Any questions? Not seeing any, I'd be looking for a motion.
Make a motion. Support.
I have a motion to support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Luddington?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the Historical Commission bylaws are approved. This brings us to items number 3, Historic Commission funds transfer.
And I'm stayed.
Glad you kept that point.
All right, thank you. So this is, staff is recommending a transfer of $125,000 from the Historical Commission's funds with the city to the Shiawassee Community Foundation, where they have a fund as well. Back in 2022, City Council approved the Historical Commission's request to invest $21,244.04 with the Shiawassee County Community Foundation. These funds are in a restricted endowment fund, meaning that the commission cannot pull back those funds, but they do earn interest each year that goes into their operating budget. And I did provide you with a report that covers the last 2 years so you can see how those funds are doing. They're doing very good. So over the last 3 years, that $21,000 has grown to be $27,308.54. They've also been able to pull over $1,000 in interest to go toward their operating budget each year. So with them pulling the funds, the account has still grown considerably. With that in mind, they'd like to invest an additional $25,000 into that restricted account. So meaning they wouldn't pull that, they would not be able to pull that back out, but the interest would be available to them in theory forever. They would also like to put $100,000 in their spendable portion at the Community Foundation. So that means the money would be able to be pulled back out and used for a future project. Their reasoning for wanting to put it there instead of leaving it with the city is because of the interest and the growth that they've seen over the last few years. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have about that.
Any questions? Seeing none, I'd be looking for a motion.
Support.
Motion support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
I'm sorry, who seconded? Thank you.
Councilmember Luddington?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the Historical Commission funds transfer is approved. This brings us to business item number 4, military service contribution requirements. And I'll start it off with the city manager. City manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Department is requesting that the City Council establish rules for members who are in military service and eligible for city retirement benefits. The recommendation is to permit the employee to remit some or all of the mandatory employee contributions within a time period that is equal to at least or up to 3 times the duration of the military service in question, or a maximum of 5 years, so that they would have that amount of time to catch up on those contributions. The other option that is available, as you can see through the MERS form, the resolution there, is that the city, as the employer, would contribute all the needed miss mandatory employee contributions due to the military service. This other option would not require additional catch-up contributions from the employee. We are recommending that the employee pay these, but the other option is available to you. We just need to know how you want to proceed.
Okay, any comments?
I just have one question. So with the alternative option that we didn't, that isn't checked, would there be like a negative financial impact on the city if we were to not require them to like catch up on what they didn't contribute?
Good question. It comes down to whether or not you want to have the employee pay their what their contributions would be to catch up,
or if
the city would do it. So there would be a financial impact, but we wouldn't know until an employee did go into active military service.
And so that was going to be my other question, is do we actively have any staff who are in the armed forces?
No. I think the last employee we did was a, correct me if I'm wrong, chief, a firefighter in the National Guard.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the only one within my 7 years here, I believe.
Make a motion to approve. As is.
Okay. Support.
I have a motion of support. This would be your roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Councilmember Fear.
Yes.
Ludington.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Mayor Tight.
Yes, the military service contribution requirements are approved. This brings us to business item number 5, hazard mitigation plan adoption. And again, we'll start it off with city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This resolution would adopt the Shiawassee County Hazard Mitigation Plan, a grant-funded cooperative effort of the county and its municipalities to reduce risks from natural hazards and serve as a guide for decision makers as they commit resources to reducing the effects of natural hazards and disasters. So this identifies all of the potential hazards that we could face as a county and as a city. And it would not preclude our own responsibility locally to have our own response plan, which we do. Kevin and I have been talking about updating that and running some benchtop exercises just to get staff and possibly council acquainted with that process. But the county emergency response department has taken this pretty seriously, gotten a grant, and this is a good resource to have for all the constituent communities in the county as well.
Thank you, city manager. Any questions?
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Councilmember Fear.
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. Hazard mitigation plan adoption is approved. This brings us to business item number 6, 2025 fee schedule update. Again, I'll start it out with city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Every June, we are required by the Redevelopment Ready Communities Program through the MEDC to at least review our draft of the fee schedule. This year, we are not recommending any changes to that schedule, and we recommend approval of the existing fee schedule for the next fiscal year. You'll have a chance to review it again in June 2026.
City manager, any questions? Not at the looking for a motion.
Motion.
Support.
I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Ludington?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Tight?
Yes. 2025 fee schedule update is approved. This business item number 7, 2025-26, city budget adoption.
Thank you.
Now I will start it out with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Director Barrett is here this evening if we have any questions, but we did not get any staff received. I did not receive any comment or questions from council since the budget workshop, so we are asking for adoption of the fiscal year 25-26 budget as presented.
Comments or questions from the city council? Not seeing any, I'd be looking for a motion.
Make a motion to support.
Support?
Well, make a motion to adopt, sorry.
Support.
Support.
I have a motion and support. This would be a
I'm more support. Vote.
Whatever
and
it is.
Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Osmond?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Luddington?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the 2025-26 city budget adoption is approved. This brings us to business item 8, demolition authorization, 117 East Exchange Street. And again, we'll start it out with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This resolution affirms the local historic district commission's recommendation to remove the facade at 117 East Exchange, along with all of the collapsed building materials behind it. This affirmation was requested by the HDC and the Shiawassee County Land Bank to preserve the city's eligibility for approximately $178,000 in grant funds to remediate that site. And this would be to comply with court order to clean up the site. And this step is integral to the next step, which is bid solicitation. And the County Land Bank will be doing the bidding. We've had a couple contractors that have voiced interest in the project, and they're just waiting for the County Land Bank they were waiting for the HDC to give clear direction on whether or not they want to fight to save the facade or let it go. So at the last meeting, HDC said, we want to make sure council is not in a situation that they are in contradiction with our order. So they said graciously, we would like council to accept that $178,000. The owner of the property was there to discuss some updated plans to the entire redevelopment of the building that remains and the portion that will be vacant. It's their wish to rebuild something in that vacant lot to match historically the buildings on either side. So they did make the remark at the HDC meeting that it would be easier to redevelop if they did not have a facade there to plug back into, and it's going to save the city $178,000.
But they're not going to pay for it themselves, the building owner.
At this point, no. They understand that if the facade was saved or there was any scenario where the city wasn't able to use those grant funds, that the cost of the demolition, the entire cost, would be put onto them in a lien and special assessment since they still own the property.
Right.
So it's their interest to keep this grant, but they wouldn't be able to take the project over if they wanted to just because the city is under the court order.
Okay.
Yeah. They are being cooperative, though. They understand.
And if the bids come back higher than 176, they're or 178, they're on the hook for that. It's attached to the property.
They would be through
property
for through a lien and or special assessment. Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions?
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
Have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Luddington?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the demolition authorization of 117 East Exchange Street is approved. This brings us to our second and last citizen comment session for tonight, which you will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone at this point in time that would like to address the council? Mr. Mankey.
Tom Mankey, 910 West M21, or Main Street, however you want to call it. Three things. Number one, it's kind of disturbing that the city had to wait until it got a court order to remove a building that fell into a basement. That's absolutely sickening, especially when a few years ago this council spent $300,000 to tear down a building that did not need to be torn down. And I was in the courtroom the day that the city's engineering firm told the judge it did not have to come down, but the city manager wanted it down. We spent $300,000. That thing was all cleaned up. Boom. Now we have a building that's downtown in the downtown, and you just let it sit there until a court order came in to take it out. Any person in this city should be held just as accountable as this city. And you better back off of people in this city because you don't do what you're supposed to do. Number two is, I don't know whether you know it, but we got a new business in town. It's called Wausau Donut. They just finally opened up in Westtown. And number three, there's a grassroots effort that's all across the country right now, and it's supported by people, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everything. And that is, June is Veterans Month. That is a grassroots. It has not been, our president hasn't adopted that yet. We're hoping that he does adopt it, but as of right now, it is a grassroots, and I encourage people to fly their American flag this month for veterans. They've done a lot for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mankey. Further comments to the council? Seeing none, I'd bring it back to the council.
I have something.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a little bit of a story, but when we were at CapCon, we, in general session, there was a couple of presenters that talked about hazard or like awful incidents that happened in their community, and they were caught kind of unaware. One of them was in their swimming trunks and had to go to the scene of a crime that had happened, and both people had mentioned how it was a great resource for anybody on staff and anybody on council to have some form of like apparel that says your city in the event that you have to show up someplace and be on the news or be interviewed or be anything, that you have something that identifies you as part of the community that is here. Anyways, and so we adopted the Shiawassee hazard thing tonight. Thank you. Made a motion. Anyways, so I thought, okay, the easiest thing, because I think everybody can agree that it's really low-hanging fruit to have apparel that says something to do with the fact that we're on city council or something to do with the fact that you're on staff. So I am a 0 to 100 person, and so for $6.99, this does not have to be right, but these are for council. It just says City of Owosso Council. They're iron-on. Pick any piece of favorite material or clothing that you already have. I made these ones for you guys, and I made these ones for staff. In the event that we don't want to actually invest in, like, full apparel, this is a way that we can modify and just throw it on a sweatshirt, put it in the back of your car, in the trunk, whatever. Hopefully we never have to use them, but I just thought this would be a nice, easy way to get us all kind of something that's branded. So these ones are for staff, and these ones are for council. And again, if you don't want to use it, don't use it. You can do with a regular house iron, or if you need to or don't want to do that, you can bring me something at my shop and I can use my heat press, and it just goes on easy peasy. And maybe that's a start for something that we can maybe one day formalize as council. We have like a certain shirt that, or the city. Yeah. So that was my little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have something. Yes. Not as exciting as that. Although, actually, yes, very exciting. This is me as a hat at the Cook Family Foundation in partnership with the Lebowski Center, the City of Owosso, so working with Amy Fuller, and the Masons with Chris Owens. Summer concerts are coming back to Owosso at the amphitheater free this summer. There are five Thursdays, July 10th through August 7th at 7 p.m. There's a variety of bands, and we're really excited that we're able to use our amphitheater. It's a wonderful resource that we have in our community. One of the things that we're excited about for this concert series is that each concert is hosted by one of our local nonprofits. So Voices for Children is hosting one, the Humane Society is hosting one, I don't remember the rest, but each night they're hosting it, and at intermission they will give their spiel as to what they do. So folks will get a great concert because these are paid bands that are phenomenal, and they'll also get to hear about one of the local nonprofits in the community.
That is so great.
That's it. But I wanted to thank Amy and Chris, and Amy Joe's not here, but at the Lebowski, it took a team of partners to put this together, but we're really excited about it.
For the comments. This would bring us to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to go through my monthly activities update and hit on a couple projects to update you with. So staff has been meeting to arrange recommendations or an analysis for monthly billing, monthly utility billing, and elimination of water shutoffs. We're going to talk about that later in this meeting. You have my memo for that. And those recommendations, for the most part, they're ready, but it's going to depend on what you choose. There's a lot of nuance here, and if we want to go through with going back to monthly billing and eliminating water shutoffs, we can do it a few different ways. So we'll look forward to have that conversation later on in this meeting. We have been in contact with Representative Begole's office about the possibility of going to Lansing to testify on a budget bill that might include assistance to Owosso to pay for the nitrification towers at the wastewater treatment plant. We're waiting to see if our testimony is needed, when that would be. County Commissioner Haley is a staff member for the Senate, I believe, House or Senate, and he has been in regular contact with you, Mr. Mayor, and staff as well. So we hope that we do have the opportunity to go to Lansing and testify, but we haven't received word yet. The Owosso City Hall Improvements Project is progressing, but we had an issue with contract language. Ryan Suhanek and the city attorney have negotiated our required changes, and they were agreed to by the contractor, so that should be resolved very soon. The public safety project, this is the USDA appropriation for the public safety improvements to the building across the parking lot, hit a bit of a snag. Administratively, we must satisfy a lot of federal requirements and A1A contract mandates. So this is not something I've done in the past, and in order to comply and really ensure that we can get the federal government what they need to satisfy the appropriation requirements, we'd like to bring on an owner's rep like we did for this project. Veritas would be the obvious choice since they're serving as owner's rep for the City Hall project, and I expect to have an agreement draft to bring to you at the next public safety, next council meeting. Kevin and I have a walkthrough with some engineers the week of the, on the 25th. I don't know if the chief is going to be able to be there, but I will be. So we'd like to get that started. The mayor, Councilwoman Osmer, and I continue to participate in the Cook Foundation's recycling work group meetings and subcommittees. I think they are helping us get the word out to the public. We've had some listening sessions, small group listening sessions that have taken place because of the foundation's work, and we appreciate that. And they have understood that the requirements for the city are a bit more involved than the rest of the county. I know I keep hitting on this, but I just want to keep it in everyone's mind who's listening to these meetings and participating that we will be required to provide 90% of our residents with curbside recycling with that service by January of 2028. Staff volunteered at the April YMCA food drive event. Council did it the month before, I believe. So that's a popular event. We like to use those opportunities for team building and giving back to the community at the same time. A couple staff members did participate in recent cleanup efforts in the downtown through the DDA. So that was very well attended. Stash Ventures brought out about 20 people and kind of had their own cleanup. They just went off and did, frankly, a lot of the work, and we really appreciate their help. They were kind of under the gun for a while because of their odor issue, and that's mostly resolved, but they're starting to get more involved in the community, and we really appreciate that. Mr. Mayor, you participated with some city staff in the tree planting event at Grand Avenue Park. That was for Arbor Day. This is also where the Parks Commission installed a new playground, so we got to take a look at that. It looks really good. It was a bit wet, so Tom got some of the heavy equipment stuck in the park, but it didn't affect the installation of the playground, but he will be making sure that looks better before everything opens back up. The HR department hosted a training and demonstration of AI usage in local government. This is starting to catch on, not only in Michigan, but around the country for local governments utilizing AI above and beyond the typical open source platforms that exist now, like ChatGPT. We do have an adopted policy, so we're a step ahead. But this training was for, it was a training, but also kind of a sales pitch for a company called GovAI, which is also open source, but had a lot of risk mitigation built into how the programs were set up. And it would be able to basically access all of our files. And for instance, for FOIAs, if we had to redact sensitive information, it would automatically be able to sense and find that. So FOIA responses would most likely speed up, but your policy does require staff to put our own eyes on it before it goes out as an added risk prevention. So it was interesting, but we haven't asked them for a contract or anything. We're still talking about it internally, but it's amazing how far that technology has progressed, even in just the last few months. As you know, I'm an MME, a Michigan Municipal Executives Board member, and I have been participating in our board meetings, and also we held an annual strategic planning session for the organization at the Michigan Municipal League Lansing office. The profession is working on how to address changes to, well, the political landscape, to be frank, mostly on the national level, but we're seeing a lot of changes on the local level too. And as a profession, we're just trying to keep up and keep true to our own ethical considerations and rules, and to remain apolitical as much as possible in order to facilitate good governance. And I think it's important for board members and participants in that process to communicate with their local elected councils that this is a valuable thing to be aware of, and so it's always a struggle, but it's a good group to be a part of, and I'm proud to be a part of it. I also attended the county's strategic housing development presentation hosted by the SEDP. Councilwoman Osmer was also there. I don't know if the final report is done yet, but we are already getting interest in the city of Owosso, and I'm not sure about other areas of the county, but we're getting interest in the city of Owosso from developers outside the city that we haven't talked to yet. The latest one was from Northwest Michigan up in Charlevoix, who is interested in a particular property here in Owosso, and had a meeting with them today. Very promising, kind of laid out what was available here locally, what council's historic acceptance or willingness to grant tax incentives would be. Sometimes that's a contentious issue in some communities, but I explained that it really hasn't been here, as long as the project meets what council wants to see for the future of the city. So we ended that meeting where this person was even more interested, and they seem to have the know-how to pull off some pretty big projects, so we're hoping that we'd be able to make an announcement sometime in the next couple months about their solidified interest in this particular piece of property in Owosso. As you know, the HDC has been meeting and decided to recommend tearing down the facade at 117 East Exchange. I expected more pushback there, but this HDC, they're a good group, and they want to encourage redevelopment wherever they can, especially for that particular corner. Exchange Street does need some help, and I'm also going to be touching on 123 North Washington, because that's a big part of Main Street's aesthetic issues right now as well. But the HDC is really working hard to not only set up council for success, but the historic look of the city as well. We got a lot of experience on that board, and I appreciate their hard work there. The city engineer continues to insist on a meeting with the engineering firm responsible for investigating the drainage issues on West 21. There's a couple council members who have communicated interest to me and the city engineer to be updated and participate in any meetings between the city, MDOT, the engineer, and Commissioner Singer over at the Drain Commission office. We're almost ready. The engineer PEA has done all of the televising work for the storm sewer on M21, and they're about 80% through getting the reports drafted. So we keep pushing them, and Clayton understands that once those are ready, there will be a few council members and myself who go down to Commissioner Singer's office to discuss next steps and hopefully getting some physical work done, whether it's cleaning drains and drain pipes or making some pretty hefty physical improvements. We just need to know what we're getting into, so stay tuned on that. That's it for my monthly activities report, but like I said, I did want to bring you up to speed on HDC's efforts to compel compliance with the facade over at 123 North Washington. The deadline to respond to the HDC's notice of demolition by neglect was April of 2025, the end of April. That deadline came and went. A follow-up notice was sent to the owner saying, well, now you have until August 2025 to effect the repairs. Now, I can tell you, we all know what that building looks like and how big it is. It's very unlikely that the repairs will be affected by the end of August 2025. But this is a procedural thing that we must go through with the HDC. This is how their enforcement process is set up. So I have talked to the owner a couple times. He is very reluctant to comply, and he understands. The last thing I had to do was just make him understand that after this deadline is over in September, we're going to be turning things over to Attorney Gould to start the process at the court level. So that's where we're going with that. Still haven't heard anything about the old middle school project. Venture is currently working on their Washington Park development. So are we. But I keep reminding them that they do still have that sales agreement and obligation to our old school right here in our downtown. And at least one council member has come to me and asked if it was possible to bring back to you some sort of draft on a vacant building inspection requirement. This was discussed with a previous council, and there was no appetite for it then. But at that time, we had two vacant buildings that I knew of. One of them was 117 East Exchange. This is either right after or right before it fell down. And the other is the middle school. And I don't see that getting redeveloped anytime soon. The story is still the same regarding those historic tax credits. They're having trouble finding investors to buy them. Okay, well, that's their problem. You got to figure it out. The city has done everything we can. We have passed a 4% pilot, and it's very generous, and the clock is ticking on this thing. So it might be time to revisit that vacant property inspection ordinance so that we can get in there and find out what's what, rather than just taking a glance at the outside of the building. We know what the exterior looks like. That's unlikely to change. But we need to know what's going on in the interior. So I'll be talking to I'm open to having that discussion with you individually, but if we think that it's going to be necessary or useful, we'll probably bring a draft ordinance to you to allow us to inspect these vacant buildings. Right now, it's only that one. Excuse me. I think that was all.
Is there an end date on their option purchase in the school?
I haven't seen their purchase agreement with the school system.
Okay.
That would be a question for Steve Brooks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nathan, is there a reason why all those great tree lights got turned off downtown? As everybody's walking around later and later, it seems like this would be a great time to have the charming lights on.
I had that discussion with
you. Yeah.
And then they got turned off. Idea to leave them on.
A month or so ago.
I'll touch base with Tom.
That would be amazing. I think it would just be super charming for people that are out on the warmer nights walking around.
Especially for Kerwood.
Especially for Kerwood. That would be amazing.
Yeah. With that, that brings us to communications, I believe. Discussions will be on items that were added 5 and 6. Is that correct, City Manager?
I think to start, you should have a discussion with the city attorney about his legal analysis for accepting donations and creating a water billing assistance program. You did direct him to provide that opinion, and I would encourage you to turn it over to him, Mr. Mayor.
With that, I'll turn it over to our city attorney.
An agenda item on a future agenda, though, a business item?
Well,
this would be maybe just for discussion, but we could do both, or you want to put it off? Whatever you're saying, Councilman?
I like the community to know that we're having these discussions,
okay.
And just having it in a communications and an informal discussion doesn't give transparency again to the community that we're talking about these things. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's always a good idea to err on the side of more notice for people than less. But, I mean, I'm happy to hear the information tonight, but not make any decisions on it tonight either.
Yeah, like I didn't think we were taking a vote on anything tonight. It was just we asked him at the last meeting if he could come to this meeting with information on whether or not we could actually do it.
We tend to create agenda items based on the question of, is this actionable or not? This is not actionable.
Right.
It is an analysis of whether or not you can create this program. There's a lot of things that need to be hashed out if you decide to create this, and they aren't yet. So this is the first step.
Okay.
And I think whether the discussion happens during communications or during an agenda item, it's all the same meeting.
City Attorney?
All right. So, as I recall, the question was asked whether or not the city could, in fact, set up a system or a program whereby private citizens, entities could donate money to the city, whereby the city would then disperse funds to those who need help or assistance paying for their water bills, given the recent change in rates. Everything I found says that the city would be well within its rights to create some kind of program. There's really nothing to get in the way of it. So on the law, it looks like it's very much something that you can do. I guess the question then just turns to whether or not it's viable or if it makes sense on the business side, but that's beyond the scope of the legal opinion. But as far from the Michigan Constitution down to our local charter, it's green light go if that's what the city's so inclined to do.
I would just like to add that There's, like I said, there's some questions that need to be answered. One is, who's going to solicit donations if you do create this? There's going to be issues with staffing and administration depending on the criteria for qualification. I can tell you that MDHHS, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, has run a program like this for many years. They get their money from Medicaid, federal government, and some state money as well. And their criteria is very administratively burdensome to verify. For instance, you're going to be asking people to verify possibly their income, their assets, and they're going to be sharing some sensitive information in that process. At the end of that tunnel, then there's not going to, like, unlike at the state level, there is not going to be any promise of any available monies because it's a donation-based system. So who's going to solicit the donations? We have the ability internally with our accounting software to set these funds aside in their own account, but we would basically be running a benefits. We would be running an emergency assistance program that is identical to the state's level, but with no money. And I'm afraid not the staff to actually get it done, even if we did have it. And you run a program like this without money for long enough, people are going to understand, well, we can't go to the city. That's a waste of time. And they're just going to go right back to MDHHS. But here we are still administering a program without funds. That's my fear of this whole thing. So while a donation-based assistance program is possible legally, administratively, this would be a heavy lift.
Is there a way that, and I have not thought this through, I'm just having a conversation, but is there a way that maybe we could consider, like, every user has, like, a certain, like, a, let's say, $100 one-time use? And so there was no qualifying, there was no nothing, but every single account was allowed one time every, you know, 5 years or whatever it was, you know, however long it took us to cycle through if everybody. So then you don't use any criteria and everybody's allowed, like, a get out of jail free, not really free, but you know what I mean? Like, would that be something that would be less burdensome on, because knowing that presumably many households would never activate that, the use of that chit, essentially. But those that needed it would have it, and we wouldn't have to run any sort of background or asset management or anything. It was just available.
Where would that money come from?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, that would be the donation. So, like, if people were donating, let's say they're adding $5 or $10 onto their bill, and they mark the box, I want to donate this much to the fund. And that money became a pool in which when any user one time needed to take, like, whatever, $50, $100, whatever it is off their bill, then that kind of moved them out of the eligible category for future months or years or whatever we worked out. But then you just don't have to do any sort of background. It's just you either used it or you didn't use it within that time frame, and it's not as though you're deciding that somebody deserves to use it or not. It's just that you would assume most people that could afford it would not take advantage of it. I know. It's just a conversation. It's a concept. I can imagine this hypothetical good human who wouldn't. Rachel gave me a look. Like, people would use it whether they could afford it or not. But is it possible? Is that something where,
I mean, the part that scares me, at least with the hypothetical, would be the one of the concerns that I've seen through reading all this is that you have to be very concise as to how the monies are going to be solicited, what they're going to be used for, to the donor, the person that's giving the money. You have to tell that person, hey, this is what this money is going to be used for. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'd be real nervous if it was kind of just this blanket, everyone gets a $100 shot here and there. because I think if somebody is giving money with the intent of this is going to help somebody that really needs it, well, if I don't need the help and I still apply for my credit, I would just be, that's yeah. where things start to get a little nerve-wracking for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think the donor wants that money to go to someone that truly needs it on a criteria basis. And I'd just be worried about that.
Sorry. I was going to say, I also think people would be less inclined to donate because I would be like, Carl might use this. He doesn't need it. Sorry, Carl. Just an example. You know what I'm saying?
So I do. I was just trying to, wasn't like dream
right,
situation.
Was
that
theory.
Was like a, how do
theoretical.
You keep bending and pivoting so that way it becomes not an administrative burden and it also becomes not a logistical nightmare.
Right.
But also we can collect the money and apply it to people who do need it. Like, I hate the baby with the bathwater, like, so it's hard and it's maybe more cumbersome. Mm-hmm. And therefore we don't do it. Like, that's a worse scenario to me than saying, you know, maybe some people who didn't need it desperately took advantage of it. Like, so I'm just trying to... Anybody else have any ideas? I mean, it's just an idea kind of concept. Well, like,
I don't really have ideas, but my take on this is that we're just not staffed to take on this type of project. It's going to cost us a lot more to try to manage this. Than the benefit. My take, I talked to city manager and others that you do have the MDHS already for those that are truly in need. You got to have proof of shutoff to even apply for it, and then they are staffed to do that. My thing is, what can we do that's not going to cost us a lot but might help our citizens? And the city manager brought up a couple of things in his write-ups and so forth, and I agree that, number one, we eliminate the credit and the fees for credit cards and so forth, ACH, I think it's called as well, fees, that saves the citizens around $9,000. So no more credit card fees. That's number one. And number two, no shutoffs. Those are things I think we are capable of doing administratively. And no shutoffs, meaning that delinquent fees would then go on your taxes, and that's how we would address collecting delinquent fees. But we would no longer be turning off people's water, and would be, I think, a benefit to all our citizens as well. So those two things, I think we can look at, we should take a look at and go for this. I'm probably going a step beyond this, but are we going to talk singularly about the monthly, we're in both this, or can I bring monthly up?
Mm-hmm. I would be happy to go over it.
I'd like to have you go over it and I'll bring. But those are my two thoughts about what we can do. Is no more shutoffs. Okay. Put those on the taxes, number one, and take the fees off when it comes to a credit type of payment. That's an instant benefit to our citizens. But to administrate something that... we don't have the space, we don't have the office space, we'd have to hire, in my mind, the cost would just be, we're just not set up for that type of thing. I don't think we can handle it.
Is there any possibility, I guess this is more for you, of outsourcing it, so the donations are on the form, it gets checked, and then...
Capital areas.
Yes, CACS does it, or Catholic Charities does it. Is that legal?
I believe that's a possibility, yes.
You would lose the ability to guarantee that any funds donated from OWASO to OWASO would be spent in OWASO. That's the risk.
Well, even if we had an MOU that required it? I'm just wondering, because Catholic Charities is Genesee and Shiawassee. Could the donations then be guaranteed to help just OWASO, City of OWASO residents?
Well, to the manager's point, I mean, if it's possible to structure it to where the funds from Owosso Citizens go back to Owosso Citizens, maybe that's a possibility. But again, with a third party, my mind goes the potential risk of mismanagement, giving the money to the wrong people, because ultimately we are responsible for taking that money in.
Right.
And so maybe there is ways to ensure safety, whether it's ensuring the program in some fashion, but a third party, I understand where you're going with this efficiency, comes with some liability too, and it's hard to get rid of all that liability with someone else managing it. So that's all.
And if I were them, I would ask for an admin fee.
Got it.
Especially if you want to try to relegate it to just City of Owosso ratepayers. That's going to be extra work for them.
And Mayor, may I ask a quick question as to the ACH fees?
Mm-hmm.
Would those be waived because the donations would be paying those? Or are you
no.
talking about a complete waiver of those?
I'm talking about the city wavering them and taking out the 9K.
Okay.
In an effort to encourage, and this kind of went into our thoughts about monthly billing, too, so it's all one. In an effort to encourage people to pay online, that's what it was.
I guess my initial, I was just nervous about being able to waive ACH fees in general.
Well, you know, in some businesses, they don't charge it.
That's private enterprise. The reason why usually municipalities are obligated to pass that fee along is because those citizens whom pay by cash or check would be, somebody's got to pay for that fee. Like, that fee doesn't just
right.
go away.
I got you.
And so for those citizens who choose not to use that system effectively, the money's got to come from somewhere.
When did, in my memory, we just enacted that policy just a few years ago. We weren't charging. Is that correct? And all of a sudden we started to charge.
I'd have to go back and look. To be quite frank, I don't recall. But generally, that's the theory behind HCH. Now, I'm not saying without doing research that.
What's that? Not. Brad?
There's no.
We always have done the fee. Okay.
And
thank you.
It's a requirement of the third-party processor.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So that's why I don't think it's waivable.
Okay.
But that's not doing any homework on it, to be quite frank.
All right.
Could you check for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
I really liked that idea, so it would be great to know how we could arrive at the end conclusion that the fees are not necessarily something that deter people from paying online, because I agree, like, you're the postage, that's a staggering amount of money, but I also think that given the choice, a lot of people would click the button to receive their bill electronically and pay online, or auto bill or something. Not everybody, not me. I'm not an auto biller. But I would get my bill online for sure, and then they would require no postage, no nothing. And I wonder how many of our residents would be able to, if we could chop that bill down, like the projected amount, and still receive the newsletters and still receive everything in our emails. But I liked the idea of eliminating that ACH fee, however you want to, how it would be phrased, the equivalent of not penalizing people for wanting to pay online.
If it's possible.
What?
If it's possible.
If it's possible, exactly. So it would be great. I agree with Chris that it would be wonderful to find the answer of how, if there's a way to go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding water shutoffs, on what we spend annually on average for DPW labor, equipment rental, for 2 days per quarter to turn off and 1 day per quarter to turn on, all of that together is about $31,000. It's not like you're going to save that if you're not doing shutoffs, but it would allow a DPW crew that's stretched kind of thin to reallocate those resources elsewhere. I don't think that's too big of a deal. But what everyone needs to understand is that we would be going from 4 opportunities to settle up your water bill throughout the year to a maximum of 2 We don't want to do once a year on taxes if we eliminate shutoffs. We'd like to do twice a year, and that's as many as you can do. There's also the question of DHHS eligibility for shutoff assistance. So if you don't do shutoffs, how do you help? How do you make sure people remain eligible if they need the service through the state? And it's a little goofy, in my opinion, because what you have to do is you got to keep issuing shutoff notices, because that's the tool that people use to go to MDHHS and say, hey, I need help. So it's going to be confusing if you get rid of shutoffs for that reason, because people are still going to get shutoff notices. It's going to take a lot of time, years maybe, for people to get used to that. That's a consideration. But I think eliminating shutoffs is pretty viable from where I sit. It would just mean you would be shifting cost from the ratepayer themselves onto the taxpayer for that particular property. And with a lot of rentals, it'd be, you know, shifting from the tenant to the landlord. Because they're running that business, they need to work that out themselves. And I can tell you that our current deposit amount won't even be, I mean, the average, it will help with the average bill up until about the end of 2026, I think, based on the rate increases, because right now it's $350. I don't think you should increase that, because the people paying those are the tenants. And sometimes it's difficult for them to come up with $350 when they come and put the water account in their name. So you should not increase it. A lot of other cities, it's much more than that. Corona's over $1,000, I think, over $350. In Corona's defense, they don't have many tenants. A lot of people who live in their homes own them in Corona. We're much different. Got a lot of landlords here. So just keep these things in mind as you're going to talk about giving staff direction on what policy you want to see and which one you don't.
I have a question. Are there other municipalities that you're familiar with that do this and do still do the water shutoff notice? And is it, like, did they, I don't know if you chatted with anyone or something, but is it essentially, like, too confusing that it outweighs the benefits, or
no?
Is it still effective?
I spoke to the former manager at Battle Creek, and they, during COVID, they had a moratorium on shutoffs like everyone else did, and they just kept it. And so I called Rebecca. I said, what did you do about, you know, the people that needed DHHS help? So we just kept issuing shutoff notices. Yeah.
You just didn't shut off the water.
It's a, right. And it's
like a formality.
What it comes down to, yeah. What it comes down to is just continuous public education. Like, this is going to be something that we put on the bill, I think. Some people don't even read those. They just kind of toss them, and they go pay their bill, whatever it is. But it would be a long, concerted effort of public education to be like, don't panic. We're not doing shutoffs, but in case you need it, here's a shutoff notice. It's doable. There's more communities than just Battle Creek that do it. But.
So there's a precedent that other communities do this enough already that
COVID
wouldn't be.
COVID caused a lot of them to just stick with it.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And that would be a huge help, I think, for people.
And so then,
and I think actually
there is the possibility, though, that you will get pushback from property owners,
landlords.
So just be ready for that.
Yeah. That's what I'm already thinking. What recourse does the landlord have to? Can they eventually shut the water off?
Same recourse you'd have if you were evicted. I mean, you just got to take it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for shutting off the water.
I got to take them to court for something I'm not selling them, though.
Something that you're on the hook for, yeah. Sure, if you covered water and utilities, if it was like an all-inclusive rent, let's say, then and they didn't pay the rent, then you'd be taking them for the money that you paid.
That's another consideration. Rachel, I think, sorry, Councilwoman Osmer just mentioned it. The possibility of just saying water has to remain in the property owner's name. But city clerk brought up to me that it might not be possible. We're going to have to look into that if that's something you want to pursue. But then again, Carl, I mean, sorry, Council. Yeah, Councilman Ludington, you would have an additional burden as a property owner and landowner to work that out with your tenants, because if that came to fruition, all your accounts would be in your name. it's shifting responsibility from tenants to landlords. Let's not mince words on that. This is what that is.
What would it take to put this as an agenda item? Because it sounds like this is the most feasible, and we could talk about it more. Is that possible?
Well,
or do we need, like, do you all need to do more? Does staff need to do more research first?
It depends on if you want to try to keep accounts in owners' names. It depends on. Depends on if you want to continue issuing shutoff notices based on those criteria and direct staff to work up a resolution.
Is our current billing software capable of offering people online bills? Like, go green, you know, don't get a paper copy anymore? Like, is there a reason why we don't do that now? I'm surprised that they don't have, like, just an opt-in.
We do. It does.
It does.
Yes.
Is it
so you can select right now to go paperless?
You can ask for your email. You have to provide an email to Treasury.
Because I get both.
Right.
Okay.
That's just the practice currently.
Yeah, okay.
But we could then reasonably have people say, I only want to, I do not need a paper copy.
Right. I think there's going to be a legality question in regards to due notice, in regards to if continuation of fees, shutoffs, and stuff of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Saying those might have to be on paper to comply with law. Potentially would have to be looked into.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I suspect so. I mean, generally, you got to put all notices out there, disclosures, and.
Wait, so I'm sorry. You're saying that people cannot receive this bill just electronically?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
No,
I'm,
in the case of a shutoff notice,
they might need that
on paper rather than just a digital.
That makes sense. Yeah, sorry.
So,
I would, yeah.
So we wanted a resolution or, I guess.
An agenda item or a discussion.
Yeah.
Is it a discussion or would you be bringing us, like, a proposal as staff saying, like, we're going to switch to this, this, this? I would like to see that, personally. Moving to monthly billing, I would like to see it go to property owners. So that way we can avoid shutoffs.
I'm saying just shutoffs right now.
Monthly, that's a different. They haven't discussed monthly billing.
It's all under one. Sorry.
Yeah, that might be too different.
So I'm wondering if we can get some, you know, the agenda specific to water shutoffs, because right now this seems like the most tangible thing to talk more about and or take action on. Like those, I mean, it's complicated, but.
I agree. However, I think that the most time-sensitive thing would be to switch to monthly billing because the next bill is going to roll out, like, soon. So if we don't have anything in place that shows how monthly billing works, how the, you know what I mean, like, when bills go out, when the shutoff notice would be issued, you know, all that, then I feel like we're going to be caught behind.
I think they should be separate.
They can be separate, but
Monthly billing is going to be very confusing, especially when you roll it out.
Right.
Because if you just rip the Band-Aid off and go right from quarterly billing to monthly billing, people are going to get their last quarterly bill in the same month that they get their first monthly bill. That's going to be confusing as heck. We're going to get a lot of calls on that. You could phase it in. It's going to be easier on pocketbooks, but even more confusing.
I think keeping it
separate is going to be important. And if you want to get something in place on all of it by the next start of the billing cycle, that's going to confuse some people.
I think we need to address the first option now. This monthly thing, there's going to be a lot more discussion on that because there's costs involved in that one. The minimum of about what I saw in the packet, city manager, about $50,000. If you go to postcards, it's 60-some thousand versus, what, 20-some thousand that we're that's costing us right now.
For the current full-page bills to go monthly, it's an additional $42,000 a year.
Right.
If you go to postcards, the total would be $50,000 per year, which is about $29,000 more than quarterly billing on full page bills. But postcards, you lose the ability to communicate with residents, not only on the bills themselves, because there's a lot of useful information on the back of them, but on our ability to include things into that as mailers, like our newsletter or letters from you, Mayor, when we get our water quality reports that you like to send out with them.
Could you offer like an incentive? Like if it costs us, let's say, a dollar for everybody to get a paper bill, could you pass through a savings and be like, get 50 cents off of your next bill by going green and not needing a paper bill? Like, could we split the cost savings with some people as an incentive for people to come go to the email route or a portal route? Is that legal?
That would be, in my opinion, that would be a violation of your no free service or use ordinance.
I agree with the mayor.
Okay. I'm like, waiting for you to weigh in.
Well, we have something from Councilwoman Osmer that's out there. Do we have a support for that?
So do I have to make it a formal motion?
To put it, or do we just...
do we just tell you, or does that have to be a motion?
Yeah, I think it would be best if it was a motion, but you got to tell me what you want.
Right.
Yeah. Specifically, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I make a motion to have staff research and come up with a formal offer related to water shutoff elimination while maintaining shutoff notices. Do I need to say anything else?
And putting delinquent accounts on the tax bill.
Twice a year.
I don't know if we have to say that. Then when it comes to it would go to the owners and not the renters portion of it. If you follow what I'm saying, because you're going to the taxes, I don't. That has to be part of it.
Because it's going to happen that way.
It's going to happen that way anyway. Okay.
But also while keeping the deposit the same, right?
Yes, maintaining the deposit.
Please don't touch the deposits. Okay.
Is that City Clerk? Is that motion sufficient? Okay.
Yeah. Figured out.
Okay. Sorry, I apologize.
Support.
I have a motion of support. Any discussion? I believe we
is there
take
any way to send a notice to the landowners before it gets added to their taxes?
We're going to have to. I think it's just going to be part of the entire public education process with this change. It's a big one.
It is a big one. It just doesn't seem like it should go to the person not using the water.
I didn't hear you.
It doesn't seem like the bill should go to the person not using the water.
Just to be clear, we're not being directed to restrict the ability of a tenant to put the water in their name.
They could still keep it in there.
This would preserve that ability. Does that make sense?
That the tenant still has to put the water in their name.
Yeah, in the event of a delinquency working its way all the way to the end, Councilman Ludington, you're correct. The water used and not paid for by a tenant would then go on the taxes for the owner.
Because right now we still have the tenant can opt out or the tenant can opt in provision?
Is that case by case, like landlord by landlord?
Mm-hmm. Is that right? That might be.
I don't understand the question.
Yeah.
So like, I'm a little fast and loose here at the moment, but that landlord tenants can enter into an agreement whereby the tenant enters into an agreement with the landlord whereby the tenant pays for their own water bill. So contractually, they'd be severed from the ground and the structure
from the homeowner. I mean, as far as the tax liability would go, as far as the final consequence as to not paying the water bill.
Then what happens if they don't pay the water bill?
Well, that's what I'm saying is, I guess we move forward on the lien. You go after the house still on the taxes, and then the homeowner, the landlord, would have to then seek recourse against the tenant.
Is that what happens in Battle Creek, for example?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Didn't get that far.
I mean, that's very in the weeds, so.
And not all landlords require the tenant to have it in their name, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we've talked about that before, that some landlords, they want to control it, mm-hmm. so that they make sure the water never gets shut off, which mm-hmm. wouldn't necessarily be an ongoing concern.
Well, I know that this is not typical, but the KVO, Kiwanis Village, has 60 units, and basically the Kiwanis Village, the KVO organization, pays for the water bill.
We pay our water bill first.
So basically the rent is, even though our rent is very low, basically you have that the water end of it into your rent.
It's accounted for in that.
Generally, any multi-units, the landlord pays for the water. Any single homes and
single homes, yeah. I mean,
the tenant does.
I'd have to take a look. I mean, I've been a landlord for a long time too, and I'd have to take a look at where I might have to come up with an average. You never can win either way, but include the water into the rent and to say, hey, you know. I know your water bill is $250 a month, and your rent just went up $300 or $250 to cover the water because it's, you know, I'm going to be paying it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a business type of thing, but I get it because the landlords are never on the winning side, it seems like.
You just can't go to the gas station and keep pumping gas if you only got $20.
That's
drive away and expect the gas station owner to pay for it.
That's right. So we do have a motion and support. Any other discussion to get this on the agenda?
This is just putting it on the agenda.
Yes.
It's not a setting it in stone. So
no,
we can.
No.
This is to get a plan that we can talk about
this is
and fine tune.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are directing the city to put a program together and put it on the agenda so we can look at the details of what this really means.
Yes.
Do we need a roll call vote then?
I believe so. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The motion to put on the, is delinquent shut offs and so forth has been approved. This, I think, brings us to communications item number 6 regarding the monthly water billing. I think
we covered that.
Have we covered that? We are done. We're not going to put that next meeting, though. If you want to. City Manager, what do you think about timeline? We got this assignment for the city. What are you thinking about?
Well, consensus seemed to be we'll consider shutoff elimination, but at this time we won't consider monthly billing.
That was what the takeaway was for everybody here on council, that we weren't going to consider or pursue monthly billing?
No, that was not my takeaway.
That was not my takeaway.
No.
Addressing water shutoffs first.
On the agenda so we can discuss.
For this next one.
The monthly billing was something that we can discuss later.
How much later? I mean, like, I think that this is, sorry, but this was, I think, the sentiment of everybody in that town hall. I'll make a motion that I would like staff to present us with a timeline or a path forward to moving to monthly billing.
Since I'm part of the council, I'm just going to let you know I'm not in favor of monthly billing. Okay, just to let you know, and there's reasons why. Okay, number one, I'm not willing to spend another $40,000 or $50,000 to help people budget their money.
Okay.
Wow.
Procedurally, yeah. Was that,
I mean, wow.
Was that motion, was that motion seconded?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Just, sorry. So we can discuss it.
Didn't hear.
That was my understanding. The same with the shutoff was we're just putting it on the agenda so we can discuss it. We're not.
Correct. We're just trying. If we're asking staff to present us with their best possible scenario of implementing something, that's all that I'm saying. It's like, why are we not now asking them to also present us with their best possible way of implementing monthly billing so that we can then discuss it and talk about it?
Whether or not any of us agree with it or disagree with it, it's just to put it on the agenda so that we can cover all options.
Agreed. Yeah.
That's it. After that, if it gets on the agenda and we vote against it, then we vote against it. No, if we vote for it, we vote for it. Just to get it on the agenda so we can talk. That's it.
Yeah.
City clerk.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Was that a second?
Yes.
Okay. With a lot of caveat.
So we have a motion and a second. That would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Ludington?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. Motion is carried.
So we're putting together a proposal on monthly billing as well?
Discussing.
Is that what that was?
Just for discussion.
Okay. Well, like I said, if it's an agenda item, it needs to be something actionable. If it's just a discussion, we can fit it in somewhere, but I don't like the idea of going to that. We'll get it in somewhere if it's just a discussion, but there's still a lot of questions I have on what type of rollout of monthly billing do you want to see? So we'll do our best with that.
Would it be under communications or an item of business?
You tell me.
I would not want to see it under the consent agenda, that's for sure.
No, you can't discuss it. That makes sense. Special presentations, maybe. Yeah. Keep it off your agenda items, items of business, because there's nothing actionable there. Special presentation.
That sounds good.
We'll put elimination of shutoffs on items of business. Yeah.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor?
City clerk said here.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion from Councilman Owens, and I have a second from Councilman Fear. So, I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I'll oppose the same. We are adjourned.